Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
As we turn our attention to the Word, I just want to, you've seen this face before that's standing next to me. He's been around 11 years. Adam, his wife Delaney, who works in the children's ministry, and Adam's sometimes a gatekeeper standing by the door protecting our kids. But Adam's been with me here at Refuge for 11 years. He started here and helping me in youth ministry. He can teach the Word. You're going to see that tonight. But the thing I love most about Adam is his heart. His heart for ministry, his heart for young men coming to know Jesus, and older men actually in these latter years coming to know Jesus. He's a great father, a great dad. Adam is a guy that just does things right. He's one of high character and integrity. And so I want that kind of person around me all the time. And fortunately, he's one of my good friends. And so I'm excited for have him share the Word tonight. And I think you're going to be blessed by it. So this is Adam Jankow.
Awesome, awesome. Thanks, Jeff. That was a big buildup, so I don't know if I'm going to deliver on that promise, but we'll see how tonight goes. So, yeah, my name's Adam. I'm so thankful to be here tonight. When I was asked to teach, I knew that we were going to be going through the names of Jesus, and so I was kind of wondering which one I was going to get, and I think they were like, let's give the guy who's not on staff the hard one, and so as I went to study, I was like, yeah, I think I could do this, but we're going to see how it goes tonight. If you would, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10. That's where we're going to be, and while you're doing that, I'll go ahead and just start off and ask you guys a question. You guys okay with that? All right. So think about this for a second. What is something that, for you, maybe makes you feel safe, maybe makes you feel protected? Whether it does or not, but maybe just mentally it gets you there. I think of when we're little kids, and maybe if you have little kids, at night when they go to bed and it's dark, what's the thing a lot of times that keeps them feeling safe? A little nightlight. It's crazy how like a little nightlight, just that little bit of light, can really keep away some of that fear. Or I think of when I was in high school, I played basketball, and it was a requirement by my coach for us to wear ankle braces because he was adamant about like not getting injured during the season. And so we had to wear ankle braces the entire season, and sure enough, I don't think anybody ever really got injured. Fast forward to me 3 weeks ago, not wearing ankle braces and playing basketball, and I hurt my foot. So maybe that's a life lesson I need to come back to. What about those things that maybe you put on yourself to kind of help defend against maybe some of the natural elements? My mind goes to, if you have lily white skin like mine, sunblock. I mean, I've got about 15 minutes in the sun before I start baking. So I usually have to cake that on if I'm going to go to the beach or anywhere. Or even I just got back from camping a couple weeks ago, and I love camping. I love the whole experience. The one thing I'm not a huge fan of is mosquitoes. And if you've been up in the mountains, you probably know what I'm talking about. I probably used about an entire bottle of bug spray just on myself, and I swear I could still hear the mosquitoes laughing at me as they bit me over and over and over again. But at least mentally, I was like, yeah, feeling good, feeling protected. But it was a mental thing. So whether it's reality or mental, there are those things that bring some sort of safety, some sort of peace. And the name of Jesus that we're going to look at tonight is one that should instill that same confidence. One of those things that maybe we don't really think of as protecting us, but it does, is a door. Maybe our front door. You know, we shut it, we lock it for the night, we go to bed, and we rest pretty confidently that we're safe. And for the most part, we are. Well, in the passage we're going to look at tonight, we're going to see Jesus compare himself and call himself the door. And we're going to look at just what that means. Maybe some of your translations might say the gates, but most of the ones that I looked at and studied say the door. So let's take a look at this passage because it's interesting, because this name of Jesus, the door, is kind of wrapped in him also being the good shepherd. You'll notice that if you've already turned, probably the heading says the good shepherd. And I feel like that kind of overtakes the name of Jesus in this passage, but Jesus is awesome in that he puts two names there for himself, not only the good shepherd, but also the door. So before we jump into John chapter 10, I kind of want to give you guys just a little bit of context, a little backstory about what has been taking place and what has happened leading up to this point. In the previous chapter, in chapter 9, is the story when Jesus heals the blind man. This is the blind man that was blind from birth. This is the one where Jesus spits on the ground, makes mud, puts it in his eyes, you know, like you do, and then heals him. And he sends him back. He goes to the Pharisees. The Pharisees don't really believe that he's been blind. He's like, no, I'm telling you, this guy, he healed me. What was the problem was that Jesus healed him on the Sabbath. And if you know your scriptures and you know the Pharisees, you know that was like their number one no-no. And so for this man to come and say, hey, I was born blind, but Jesus healed me. Yeah, it was the Sabbath. It starts this big commotion because for the Pharisees, in their mind, their process of thinking was, you were healed on the Sabbath. That is a sin. He's a sinner. So how could he heal you? And it causes such this dispute, such this issue, that they actually excommunicate him. They cast him out after this big argument. And he's left going back to Jesus, and he finds him eventually, and he tells him what happened, and Jesus essentially tells him, you know, kind of forget it, I'm the Son of God. And the man believes him. And in that moment, Jesus welcomes him into this place of peace and comfort and safety, a place that the Pharisees should have brought him into as the religious leaders. But he's left going to Jesus, and Jesus brings that peace. And so in chapter 10, Jesus identifies not only as the good shepherd, but also the door. And it's on the coattails of this man being excommunicated, being cast out. So let's take a look. Let's jump into John chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 7. And it says, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I love in the verse 7, he says just flat out, I am the door. He specifically says, I am the door of the sheep. But what does that really mean? Well, back then, it was very common for shepherds in that day, they would have their sheep come into the sheepfold at night to sleep, to rest. And most of the time, this was a place that was fully enclosed except for one little space. You know, whether it was stone set up or a fence, it would be enclosed all around except for one little segment. And what would happen is the shepherd would lay down at night in that space, becoming quite figuratively the door to that sheepfold. So that if a sheep got up in the middle of the night or something and tried to get out, it would literally have to step on the shepherd to get out. And likewise, if a predator wanted to come into the sheepfold, it had to go through the shepherd to get to the sheep. And so when Jesus makes this claim that I am the door of the sheep, he's saying, I am safety. I am the one that will keep you safe. I am the one that will protect you. You know, when I was first married, my son was about 6 years old, Eli. He's a junior higher now, which is crazy. But when he was about 6 years old, we were walking down the street together. And all of a sudden, around this bend comes this big German shepherd. And it's running. There's no one really around. And it's coming straight at me. And I like dogs and everything. But if a German shepherd's running at me full speed, my alerts go up, especially with my six-year-old son standing right next to me. And so, you know, it was hard to tell because it wasn't like he was foaming at the mouth and it's like, I'm going to kill you right now. It wasn't like he was all crazy like that, but you just never know. So as soon as he starts coming for us, I pick up my son. I get him as high as I could, which thankfully is really high for me. And I get him as high as I could and put myself in front of him. And I don't remember this, but I asked my son, and apparently I kicked the dog in the face, which eventually was really sad because all he actually wanted to do was play. But I didn't know that until his master came around the corner too and was like, oh, he just wants to play. And I'm like, well, maybe you should keep him on a leash. So the point is I put myself in front of that dog and my son the same way that Jesus puts himself in front of danger and in front of us. And so when it's dark and scary, when the threats seem all to be all around, Jesus is there saying, I'm going to keep you safe. I love Psalm 139, 7 through 12. It says, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light all about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. And I love that last part, that the light and darkness are both alike. Because you see, with Jesus, it doesn't matter what the threat is. It could be something small or something great. It's on the same threat level for him. Cold and cancer, same threat level for him. It doesn't matter how small or how big the thing is that's coming to try to take us down. It's at the same level for him. And he's a million times bigger than whatever that threat is. If anything wants to harm us, it has to go through him first. But then what is it that might harm us? Well, in that verse, back in chapter 10, verses 8 through 10, it says, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so they may have life and have it in abundance. So what does he protect us from? Well, he mentions thieves and robbers. And I think we got to remember the context here, because if we go back to what I was talking about a little bit earlier with chapter 9, with this blind man coming to the Pharisees, these were guys who literally stole the place that he should have had peace and comfort and acceptance in. They took that away from him, and he had to go and find it in Jesus. And so these thieves and robbers Jesus mentions are those who would come and insert themselves in the place of Christ and try to either deliver you acceptance or excommunication. They're trying to insert themselves and either give or take away that peace, that rest that you have, instead of Jesus, who is the one that should be giving us that. So applying this to our lives, there are those that are going to come, maybe people, maybe just things in our lives, and we'll talk about them in a second, that would come to snatch us away from the comfort and safety of the sheepfold. And I'm not necessarily talking about salvation. I'm really talking more about the mental, emotional, and spiritual state of mind that we have in our everyday lives as Christians, as believers. Those things that would come to rob us and take away that peace and that comfort that we have in him. And so on the one hand, you have thieves, which really speak of those that would come and try to manipulate, try to trick, try to deceive, take away those things and rob us in that way. Maybe it's a person that comes into our lives and disrupts us by flattering words or by deceptive words. Maybe they have something alluring that they're saying, something that is easy for us to latch on to and accept, but all it is a manipulation, a tactic to draw us away from the Lord. Maybe they use logic and reason that sounds good in that moment, but really is nothing compared to the Word of God. Maybe it's just bad fellowship. Maybe it's natural fears that come in and choke us out. things that come in and cause us to have anxieties and cause us to be scared. You know, maybe it's those things that cause us to spiral out of control mentally and emotionally. You know, maybe we're looking around at the state of the world and we're like, this is a scary place to live. It's so easy to look around at what's going on and be like, yep, I'm afraid to go outside. Maybe it's our physical state, our health. Maybe it's our financial situations. These things that weasel their ways into our lives and disrupt the peace and the comfort that we have in Christ. I love Isaiah 35:4. It says, say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Now, I want to take a second and just say, there are those who struggle hardcore with anxiety, that it stems from a place maybe of a physical nature, those that it can be a health issue. And it's really easy for us as believers to take verses like these and just kind of slap a Bible-based Band-Aid over other people's problems and be like, hey, no anxiety. This Bible says so. And it's really easy to do that. But man, anxiety can be crippling. Anxiety can be just overwhelming. And sometimes all it takes is just a matter of the Lord and timing and, you know, things that are outside of our control at times to really bring health and peace in those moments. And so I'm not necessarily saying take this verse and don't feel anxious if you're one that struggles with anxiety. I'm really talking more about those of us that may, like I said, look at the world around us, allow the natural day-to-day things to come in and take away and cause us to be afraid and to fear. So those, I would say, look at this verse and see what God says. Fear not. So on the one hand, we have thieves. On the other hand, we have robbers. And robbers really speak of more of those who would go about stealing in a more violent tactic. They come with maybe more of big action to kind of take away what you have. You know, maybe it's someone in your life that just brazenly batters and beats you down. Maybe it's a boss or a coworker that is just riding you all day long and just doesn't have any peace themselves, so they're going to like, I'm going to take yours. Maybe it's something that is just going on inside that's causing those thoughts of self-harm that just want to come and destroy violently your life. Whatever those things are, they're trying to take our peace of mind and heart. But we got to remember, who's the door? Who's the access point? Who do they have to go through to get to us? You know, there are those people or those things that will want to steal, to kill, and destroy our peace, our hope, our faith, both spiritual enemies and real ones, real natural world ones. Jesus came to give us not only eternal life, but also a productive and faithful life here on our day-to-day. And we can live with that truth because anything that would come to cause us harm has to cross the threshold of Christ first. He is that defense. So as we start to kind of head towards wrapping up, I want to leave with a few thoughts. One of these is this. Is that the door is one of the most vulnerable places of the home. If you think about it, if you have a room that is completely sealed, it's pretty well protected. The moment you cut a door into it, even if you put a door there, even if you lock it, that is now the most vulnerable place to get access into that room because there's now a space there for people to break into. There's now an opening. There's now a weak point. You know, I looked it up, and there are various articles that will say that the number one place a burglar comes through is your front door. All right, good night, everybody. I'll leave you with that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. But Jesus takes this concept of the door and says, I will become the most vulnerable part for you. I will be what other people and other things need to break through and break down to get to you. I will become the vulnerable thing. You know, originally we look at Passover. We look back at what happened when the angel of death came. What did they have to do? They had to put blood on the doorposts and the top, blood sprinkling down, coming down on the door. And then fast forward to when Jesus died on the cross, blood had to be spilled all over him. It had to be poured out of him, onto him, as the true Passover lamb. It had to be poured on him, the door, so that then we could access the Father, so that we could have access to eternal life. Jesus is the door because he took the vulnerable place for you and for me. And now we get to walk in freedom. Now we get to have peace and hope that overtake fears and doubt. We get to live in that rest. And maybe you're here and there are people in your lives that are taking that, maybe breaking you down, robbing you of that rest, of that peace, of that hope. Maybe you're struggling with fears and anxieties of this world, or maybe just of your own mind's creation. Maybe you have kids that have walked away from the Lord. Maybe you got bad news from the doctor. Maybe you feel like you're losing your marriage. You're losing your family. Maybe you're raising kids and you're just like, this is hard and soul-sucking at times. I love them, but maybe you're here and you're thinking about harming yourself after this time tonight. Maybe you just don't feel safe. The thing is that when the sheep are in the sheepfold, they're completely safe. There are predators, there are robbers, there's chaos all outside the pen. But inside, they are safe. And if anything wants to get to them, they go through the door, they go through the shepherd. And that's why even when there's mayhem and chaos all around, we could trust that we are in that sheepfold, that we are protected, because we have a mighty big door protecting us. So if Jesus is our door, we can trust knowing that he's right there with us when the chaos ensues, when the bad things come up. And that doesn't mean that bad things are going to happen. We know bad things are going to happen. Bad things could be happening right now to you. But if you have the perspective that whatever is happening had to go through Jesus first, hopefully that changes our perspective a little bit. Hopefully that makes us think, you know what? He's got me. Because he knew this was going to happen. He knew this is happening. He knows this is happening now. And he's here with me. We can rest in the knowledge that he has given us life abundantly. And even rest sounds passive, but it's actually action. It takes action. It takes us to actually choose to go and rest, especially amongst the busyness, amongst the chaos of life. We have to be proactive about seeking that rest. Sometimes to truly rest, you almost have to force out everything that's coming into your life and just be like, you know what? I just need to take a few minutes and rest. But that's not going to happen if we don't step out and seek that. So when we feel anxious, when we feel depressed, when we feel scared, when we feel like there's no way out, take action. Seek rest. Talk to Jesus. He may be the door, but he is also the shepherd, and he loves you. And he wants to help you with anything you're going through. Remember Christ's faithfulness. He's faithful yesterday. He's faithful today. He's faithful forever. Find rest in the truth that he is with us through it all. He wants us to feel safe, to feel protected, because he is that door. So as we close, then I'm going to have Thunderstorm come back up. I'd like everyone to close their eyes for a second. I'm going to read Psalm 91. But while I do so, I'd like you guys to think about whatever it is, whatever that thing is that is causing you fear right now. Whatever is taking away your rest, whatever is stealing that peace of yours. Have it and hold it in your mind for a second. And then just listen to this psalm. Listen to what God has to say through this chapter. And then Thunderstorm will keep going. Psalm 91. The one who lives under the protection of the Most High dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say concerning the Lord, who is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, he himself will rescue you from the bird trap, from the destructive plague. He will cover you with his feathers. You will take refuge under his wings. His faithfulness will be a protective shield. You will not fear the terror of the night, the arrow that flies by day, the plague that stalks in the darkness, or the pestilence that ravages at noon. Though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, the pestilence will not reach you. You will not only see it with your eyes and witness the punishment of the wicked, because you have made the Lord my refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place. No harm will come to you. No plague will come near your tent. For he will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you in all your ways. They will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the young lion and the serpent. Because he has his heart set on me, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls out to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and give him honor. I will satisfy him with a long life and show him my salvation. And Lord, we just want to give you whatever that thing is that is causing fear, causing doubt, causing us to be scared. Whatever that thing is, Lord, that is taking away our rest in you, I pray that you would remove those things. Lord, I know that there are things going on in each and every person's here's life. I know that there are things, seasons that you have them going through that maybe it's going to take time. It may not be an immediate fix, an immediate deliverance. I pray for those that are going through those kinds of seasons that you would meet them where they're at, that they would feel your presence, your peace, your comfort, your rest. I pray that we would not allow the things of this world to cause us to fear, but that we would stand in the truth knowing that you and you alone bring peace and safety. Lord, we need you so much. And I ask that you would fall on everyone here, that your spirit would just rest on each and every person, fill them with hope, fill them with joy, fill them with confidence in you, fill them with rest. Lord, we give you this time. We love you and we thank you. We ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.